share with you some things this morning that I believe that it'll be good for us to hear in these times that we live in. We're living in some difficult times in some ways for some people, but some people are having the time of their life. And it's an interesting season that we are living in. I know that the times that we live in, we hear all kinds of different stories about what's happening around the world. And I know that we were hearing different things everywhere. We're hearing things about when we talk to other people, we hear things about what's happening in different parts of the world, but also some things that are predicted about this area of the world that we live in. And I know that, we hear about the terrorist threats. We hear about earthquakes in different places. We hear about possible financial downturns and things like that. I don't know about you, but everywhere I go, it seems the more and more I talk to people, I seem to be hearing those type of things. And I know that, for years that we've heard similar things like this, but I've been hearing more and more about it in these days that we're living in today. It seems everybody I've talked to seems to be talking about that kind of stuff. And I want us to look at how we ought to be living in times of confusion, times that are a little bit different, times that are probably not normal. Let me put it that way. Times that are that some people are struggling in, and that sometimes people are trying to understand about what's happening next. What's the next on the agenda for this world? And I think that's a reasonable question, because when we look at what happened over the last 20, 30 years, even in the area of technology, it's amazing what has happened. It's amazing the kind of things that have taken place in the area of technology that are astounding. And I know that there's going to be things take place in the next 10, 20, 30 years that will be overwhelming as well. But these are times that we're living in. Times are changing. And if times are changing, what does that speak to us as individuals? What is that saying to us as individuals? I think, we have to ask these kind of questions. We have to have these kind of conversations. What's that mean for me, the way the world is changing? And do I feel secure in this world? Because that's one of the things that many, many people are being stirred about in the area of is the area of security. Do I feel secure in this world? I'm just reading just recently about what's happening in some of the cities in the United States, a place like Washington, D.C., that their violent murder rate this year is up something like 43%. And in St. Louis, it's up 60% from last year. And a lot of people are asking the question, what's going on? What's happening in our cities that these kind of things are taking place? Not only what is happening, but what do we do about it? And many of the law enforcement, are asking themselves the questions, and of course the citizens are asking the law enforcement, what are we going to do about these things that are happening in our cities? And many times people don't seem to have answers. It seems like we're living in a day that people are looking for answers, but they don't have them. Even with all the information that's out there today, answers seem to escape a lot of cities and towns and villages because of what's happening around us. And there are different times. There are different times that we live in. And of course, because of that, we have to ask ourselves, where do we go from here? What are some of the things, where does that leave us in the big scheme of things? I want to quote a guy by the name of Bruce Coburn. How many know who Bruce Coburn is? Yeah, some of the older folks. Let me put that correctly. The older folks. I'd love to know some of the. I wish I knew some of the singers that are so popular today. But when we mention them, we go way back. Well, Bruce Coburn, actually, he's a well-known Canadian artist. Singer, songwriter. He is so well known that he even has his own stamp. There's a Canadian stamp with Bruce Coburn on it. He's in the Music Hall of Fame. And he's a Canadian or a Canadian icon, if you will, in some circles, or has been years ago. And he's a wonderful songwriter, and he writes different songs, and he speaks a lot about Jesus in some of his songs. But I just want to read a quote by him. He said, what's important is recognition that there is a spiritual side of life, and that needs to be paid attention to. He says there is a real distinction between materialism and a sense of the cosmos being a deeper place than that. In other words, a deeper place than just the materialism that we see. He goes on to say, if it's a deeper place, then what does that ask from us? If there's a deeper place than all this natural realm that we live in, what does that ask from us? Can we just continue to go on life not thinking about something deeper than what we see, hear, feel, taste, and touch? Do we just continue on, or do we take the time to notice that there is something more real than this natural realm that we live in? I believe the Bible actually teaches that there is a realm, there's some things that are more real than this natural realm that we live in. And I believe the answer to a lot of the confusion that's in the world today actually comes from that unseen world, or that spiritual world, as Bruce Coburn called it. There are some real answers for us if we pay attention to them. But if we just go our own way and never pay attention to them at all, doesn't matter how many answers are there, we'll never be able to get to them because we're not paying attention. We're not hearing about the spiritual realm. Obviously, you know, we as a Christian church, we look to Jesus, we look to God, we believe He's the creator of all things, so we look to Him for some of these answers and some of the answers of how to live in troubled times. What does Jesus say about troubled times? I love this in John 16:33. Jesus said, "In the world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Or as the Message translation says, "In the world you'll have trouble, but cheer up. I have overcome the world." Cheer up. I think one of the things that the church needs to do today is cheer up. Even though there's all kinds of things happening around us that are maybe negative, cheer up. That's one of the things that Jesus has called us to do. He said, feel safe. You can have a sense of having a safety net because I have overcome the world. I know what it's like. I know what you're going through. And some people might say, like that word translates sometimes, in the world you have tribulation. And that seems to talk about some really dire situations, some trauma that's happening in the world around us. Might be an earthquake, might be persecution, might be all kinds of things. But really, in our daily lives, don't you end up having some trouble sometimes? There's a problem that you're dealing with, that you're having a difficult time with. You might have relational problems. You might have a health problem. There might be a financial problem. There might be all kinds of things that you actually are having trouble with. But Jesus says, be of good cheer. I know that you're going through these things, but I have overcome your situation as well. And as long as you look to me, then you're going to be able to get through that situation that you're dealing with today. Be of good cheer, he said. I have overcome the world. I'm so glad that there's someone that we can look to that has overcome the world. Aren't you? Aren't you glad that there's someone greater than you involved in the situation that you're in? Boy, I've been in some situation where I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm just get on my knees and call on you because this situation is beyond my capacity to be able to do anything about. But then you sit back and you think, yes, but I know somebody who is greater than I am, greater than what I could ever think about, and he can handle the situation. And to get to know him is just absolutely wonderful. And also in John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus said, believe also in me. So he's saying, have peace. Don't be too concerned about what's happening in the world. I have overcome the world. Trust me. Believe in God. Well, if we were to ask a large number of people, what's your concept of God? I'm sure we would have many, many different kind of answers or many thoughts along that line. When you hear the word God, what does that mean to you? Well, I suggest there's lots of things that we could say or what people would say. But I like this concept that I heard one man talk about when he was having a conversation with another individual, and they were talking about a particular issue, and he just said, well, do you believe in that there's a right and a wrong? Do you believe that there's such a thing as right and wrong? And of course, that individual said, yes, well, I do. I do believe that there is such a thing as right or wrong. And he said, well, where do you base your understanding of right or wrong? Where do you get your sense of what's right or what's wrong? And of course, when you ask that question, we have to stop and think. What do we base it on? Do we base it on the media, of what the media puts out? Maybe it's the politicians. Maybe we base it on the politicians, of what is our right and wrong. What about culture? Do we base our right and wrong on the culture of the day? I think if we're honest, all those things are real. It's futile to base our sense of right and wrong on those things. I believe that the only real thing that we can base our right or wrong on is what does the Bible call right and what does the Bible call wrong? Because we look at the Bible and we claim that it is the Word of God. We believe that it is the Word of God. So if we're going to have any sense of right or wrong, then it must come from God Himself. He's the one who created us, so He must know what's right and wrong. So we try to take what we take our sense of right and wrong from the Word of God, from what the Bible says, and therefore, my concept of God also comes from the Bible. My concept of God comes from who God is and what God says. And I also like this. In John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing was made that was made outside of the Word. And of course, that scripture is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word, and He was in the beginning with the Father. And the reason why I mention that is this. We take our concept of who God is from the Bible, from what the Bible says about God, but Jesus is alive today, and He is the Word of God as well. So we can't really have a true understanding of who God is or what is like outside of Jesus and knowing Him. We can't have a true understanding of who God is without knowing the Lord Jesus Christ or without reading about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about what Jesus is all about. Because Jesus and His Word are one. And then Jesus said over in John 17, He said, I and my Father are one. And so to know God is to know Jesus. Or to know Jesus is to know God. And that's kind of a difficult concept to understand because even in Jesus' day, remember all the disciples were around Him? And at one point, one of the disciples said, Jesus, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you all this time and you still don't realize that if you've seen me, you have seen the Father? I and the Father are one. That's kind of a difficult concept. Even the disciples in Jesus' day had a hard time to get their head around it. But eventually they did. Eventually they began to understand that if they've seen Jesus, they've seen the Father. Well, it is so important to know that we are connected to the Father while we're living here. I want to ask you this question this morning. What are you connected to? What are some of the things that you are connected to? You know, I can say, well, I'm connected to this nation. I am a Canadian citizen. I am connected to this nation by citizenship. And because I'm connected to this nation by citizenship, I have certain things available to me. I can go walk into the emergency center at this hospital. If I have a medical emergency, I can walk in there, may have to or may not have to wait for a while. But when I come out of there, I don't have to take my wallet out and try to cover the cost of what the services I just got. That is part of the being a Canadian citizen. I have the privilege because I'm connected to this nation. Most of the people in Canada who are Canadian citizens don't realize that we have more privileges than the vast majority of people in the world. And why is that? Because we are Canadian citizens. We have the privilege of living here. If you go to another country, you would, in some cases, be horrified of what is not available. But we're connected as citizens in this nation of Canada. But there are things that we are connected to in the realm of the Spirit as well. And it's important for us to know what we're connected to in the realm of the Spirit. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Jesus is telling this to his disciples in that day. He said, he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. And without me, you can do nothing. Jesus made this outstanding claim. He said, without me, without being connected to me, without abiding in me, without having this connection, your works are fruitless. You can't really do anything that is going to produce fruit that will last. It's if some would say, an outrageous statement. What do you mean that we have to be connected to you in order to produce any kind of good fruit and fruit that will last? Well, there's one thing about Jesus is that you have to consider this about him. He has said many things in Scripture, and we have to make this decision. Did Jesus mean what the Scripture says he said, and was he telling the truth? Was Jesus telling the truth? Was he actually telling the truth about himself? Because many might question, is Jesus the Son of God? Well, what did Jesus say about it? Well, is Jesus the way to heaven? Well, what did he say about it? And then when you look at all that, you have to say, okay, was he telling the truth or was he lying? Now, I've been in quite a lot of situations and talking to individuals about things, about spiritual things, and I never ran into anybody yet that would say Jesus was a liar. I haven't ran into anyone yet. And yet he has made these claims. He said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, then you can produce fruit that will last. An awesome statement. Jesus wants to make the connection with us. His connection is for us to have an abundant life. He wants us to be connected with him so we can have an awesome, abundant life. The life that he gave us to live. It's so important to be plugged into Jesus. I want to show you a little clip about the importance of having the right connection, both in the natural and in the spiritual realm. Just show the clip, guys. Interesting little clip about being connected, about making sure that you're connected to the right power source. A couple of things that this clip certainly speaks about. One is that it's important to be connected so you really have a connection with the life that God has for each and every one of us. In other words, Jesus said that, if you abide in me, that you will produce much fruit. Well, being connected right means that we can have the life of God in us and flowing through us, and we will have the right connection. But notice now in this clip as well that this I don't know what you'd call that little thing there that was moving around, but he was looking at the bird, and it's almost like, the grass is greener on the other side of the hill, and so you want to run and try to do something that you haven't been called to, or run and try to do something that if you do it, you can't stay connected to the power. And this little thing was running off even after the plug was pulled out of him. He was running. He kept on running, but it seemed like he was going to make it. But all of a sudden, the power just zapped right out of him. And so it's so important to know that what we're connected to and to be able to stay connected to the right thing, to the right power source. And of course, the title of my message today is Safe and Sound and Bound for Heaven. It's simply, we could talk a lot of things about safe and sound, but none of it would have any relevance whatsoever, no matter how safe we felt down here or how sound we were down here, if we didn't know where we were going to end up at the end. And the other side, when it's all said and done, whenever we leave this place. We all have different concepts about heaven. We have different concepts about what it's like over there. We really, although we don't know, we have different concepts about it. And I suppose we could ask a lot of people what it's about and what they think it's like. And we'd have many, many different ideas of what that is all about. But one thing for sure, we are all going to leave this place one day. Every single one of us. My uncle, who is gone now, I remember he used to jokingly say, he said, "I finally figured out that I'm never going to get out of here alive. I finally figured it out." And sometimes I think we kind of like to ignore that fact, but the truth is, we will never get out of here alive. And there are all kinds of thoughts that heaven might bring into our mind. There may be some people who are actually looking, and I've heard some saints of God. I just watched somebody the other day, and he was a very elderly individual and a real man of God, and he said, "You know," he said, I told God, I'd like to go now. I'm ready to go now. I'd like to go now. But if you want me to stay," because he was a real person who would preach the gospel and so forth, "if you want me to stay here longer, I'll stay." In other words, he desired to go to the other side because his idea of heaven was absolutely wonderful. And some people, when they think about leaving this place, maybe it drums up fear. Maybe there's fear that comes up in us of the unknown, because generally as individuals, we're pretty fearful of the unknown. So maybe that's something that comes up within our own hearts. What is it that where are we going to go? We don't really know what's over there on the other side. There's all kinds of things that people drum up. A little girl began to pray one day, and she said, "Now I lay me down to rest," going to say your prayers before bedtime. "I pray the Lord I'll pass this math test. If I should die before I wake, that's one less test I'll have to take." Well, to me, she had a good... she wasn't afraid to go. She was just thinking about getting out of this math test. That's one less test I'll have to go. And some people look at a life that way. But there is one thing for sure, as I said. One day we'll all leave here. And the question is, what's next? What's next? What's the thing that's coming next? There's one thing for sure. We know that we are going to leave this place one day. We're going to check out. We're going to check out. It was funny. I'm just reminded of a friend of mine. He said his son, when he was just a little boy, and he was a bit older than normally for talking. He wasn't talking yet. And his mother overheard him one day. When it was the first thing that came out of his mouth was simply, "I got to get out of here." That's the first words of a little boy. It was a little boy. "I got to get out of here." And sometimes we can think about that in this world. We can have that kind of concept. "I got to get out of here. I got to get out of this situation." Well, the question is, where will we go? What will the end be? And I pray that we might have gained enough knowledge about spiritual things to have a peace about where we're going. When I was a young man, I was plugged into the wrong things. I was plugged into alcohol. I was plugged into drugs. I was plugged into anything that would give me a thrill. But the trouble is, it was giving me life. It was giving me death. It was giving me destruction. That these things that I was plugged in were bringing death to my very being. And then one day, by the grace of God, I was able to unplug from that power source and plug into another power source that was able to give me great life, was able to show me what life was really all about, what I was designed for. And somehow in the midst of all that, I realized that God said I could have a home in heaven, that God said I could make a way to heaven, that if I was to go through the Lord Jesus Christ, I could find, when it's all said and done, when I leave this place, I could end up in heaven. And I say, what's your concept of heaven? What do you think about when you think about heaven? Well, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of information about what heaven is like, but it does give us some. But I want you to think about this aspect of heaven itself. I am convinced that one of the most important things about heaven is that God will be there. God will be there. Now, what would it be like to be in the presence of God? Think about this for a moment. I remember years ago that I was in asked to look after some equipment that I didn't know about. I had this job. They hired me to look after this equipment that I didn't know anything about. And I told the people, I was up front with them. I told them, I said, "I really don't know anything about this equipment. I consider myself a bit mechanically inclined, but I've never even seen this equipment before." And they said, "Oh, don't worry about it. We'll have somebody to come in and train you." Well, months went on, and they weren't taking anybody in to train me. And so I was very nervous about it. I just tried to do my best and wasn't able to really work at it. And then they finally realized that they have to get somebody in. So they got this expert in. They called him in from another province, and he came. And him and I worked all night shifts in trying to get this equipment up to running in good operation. And we worked very, very hard at it. And while he was here with me, the guy who worked on this and knew this equipment inside out, while he was with me, I felt really good. I felt we were really accomplishing something. I felt we were really gaining and getting this equipment working just right. But then he left. And I was left on my own again. Now, I was better at it than I was before, but I certainly wasn't anywhere near as good as him. He knew that equipment inside and out, and he rebuilt it. He knew it all. Now, think about this, what you're going through. Doesn't matter what it is, what you're going through. There is a creator that has created you, and he knows everything about you. He knows how to get out of every situation that's bringing destruction into your life. He knows how to work with you. He knows how to put things in place so your life will be as great as it could possibly be. Why does he know this? Because he created you. So when he is on the scene, when he's with you continually, you're able to understand some things and walk through some things that you would never be able to without his direction. And that's one thing that I know that heaven has is the presence of God. That the God who made me is there. The God who put me on this earth, he is available to us today, not only in heaven, but here and now. So it's an awesome thing to think that one of the great things about heaven is that the presence of God is there. The presence of your creator, the one who created me just the way I am. And he created you for greatness. This is what's exciting. He created you for greatness. He created you special. All that stuff in your life that's not, you don't find special at all, or maybe that you are even looked down at yourself for, he didn't create that part. He created you as a special individual. He created you with his great love and kindness to being poured out on you. He created you actually as an individual who would be able to carry his love to others. You are a unique individual, and he's created you for greatness, no matter what you've experienced. And that should absolutely thrill us to know that the creator of the universe has designed me specifically so that I could be the very best me anybody else could be. Or pardon me, let me put it this way. Nobody can be a better you than you, because God created you the way you are. Don't look at somebody else and say, oh, I envy the way they're like. No, say, God, what have you created me to be? How do you look at me, Lord? Well, Jesus has the answer. When I unplugged from that life that was causing me death and plugged into the life of God, something happened. And Jesus had a description of it in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow, he's given us an awesome invitation. Come to me, you who are having a difficult time. Learn of me. I am gentle and lowly of heart. And you'll find rest for your souls. I'm convinced that this is not necessarily, I know there's other scriptures that talk about this, but this scripture is not necessarily talking about your soul as, for instance, being saved to go to heaven. This is talking about your mind, will, and emotions that are bombarding you while you're here on earth. This is talking about your mind, will, and emotions that you are dealing with continually here on earth. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest for your souls. Jesus' presence can bring peace to our soul realm, our mind, will, and emotion, so that we can enjoy his presence. John 14, 27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Neither let it be afraid. In other words, look to him and you'll have no reason to be afraid. Now I just want to read a couple of Well, one scripture anyway concerning about what heaven, what the Bible says heaven is like. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, the Apostle John said, I heard a voice thunder from the throne, or heaven. Look, look, God has moved into the neighborhood, making his home with men and women. They're his people. He's their God. He's moving into the neighborhood, his presence. His presence has come, and his presence fills all of heaven. And when we arrive there, his very presence fills us. I believe that whenever we enter that place of heaven and the fullness of God is there, the very breath that we breathe, we will breathe in God. It will flood every part of our very being and cause us to experience life like we could never possibly know it outside of him. He's our life. Again, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. This is why I endeavor to get to know God better, because I know that my security lies in him. I know that my destiny lies in him. I know that if I can stay close to him, the better I get to know him, the greater sense of security I will walk in. And I want to challenge you today to look to God. Say, Lord, what's next? Not only when I leave this earth, but what's next now? How can I get to know you better, Lord? How can I walk with you in a closer way? How can I experience you while I'm living here on earth? God gives us little hints all the time about how to experience him. I believe one of the greatest ways that God gives us in order to experience him is when we hold a newborn baby in our hands. Did you ever notice that? I remember hearing about an atheist one time saying that when I held my child, my newborn baby, and looked at my child continually, and I just thought, there has got to be more than this life. There is something greater than me because of what she felt on the inside of her when she was holding her newborn baby. That's a little kiss from heaven, if you will. God letting us know that he's real, that he loves you, that he cares about you, that you're special. He knows you intimately, and he wants you to know him better. That what wells up into us, into our hearts, when we hold our newborn child in our arms, that's a God feeling. That's a God feeling. And I want to say that's a God feeling for you. That's a God feeling that he has for you. I remember, because I study the Word of God and because I see what God says about me, I know that he loves me. I know that he cares about me. And I know that he wants me to know that he loves me. He doesn't want me to think, oh, he's a great God, the God of the universe, but I'm just a little nobody. He doesn't even know who I am. Well, God wants you to know that he knows who you are. He cares about you. And if you'll think about it long enough, you'll begin to understand how much he loves you. You actually begin to feel his love. I remember years ago, especially, I used to lay on my bed at night and I'd think about God. And I'd think about how I look at my newborn babies. And I think about a parent looks at a newborn baby. And I'd lay there at night and think sometimes, God, you're smiling at me now, right now, aren't you? You're looking at me and smiling at me. You love me. You care about me. I'm so thrilled that you care about me, that you love me. That's an awesome experience when you know that the God of the universe loves you. He cares about you. I want you to know that this morning. I want the worship team to come back, and we'll finish off with a song before we go and enjoy our time in fellowship this morning, because we just want to sing a little bit about about God and his greatness. But I want you to think about that even as we're singing our closing song this morning, about how much God actually cares about you, how much he loves you. And I remember, we've all seen the posters where Jesus is asked someone has asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And as the poster goes, it says that he stretched out his hands and died. That's how much he loves you. That's how much he cares about you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Could there be any greater love than that? I don't believe so. God loves you. He cares about you. Let's stand together as we sing this final song this morning.